Global Life Service.
So I welcome you to Anointing and Miracle Service.
We've been looking at a series, Basic Doctrine of Christ and Christianity. And today we are going to focus so much on the need for the assurance of salvation. I was saying something last week that our salvation comes with a security package. That is a security package that comes with salvation. And that is assurance. Assurance of salvation, that is the security that comes with our salvation. So today, I trust the Lord that we'll be able to dwell so much on that, and possibly by next week, we'll be able to start looking at the second part of the doctrines of Christ, which is faith. I can't wait to get there. So, but then we are still looking at repentance. Okay. And then last week we are looking at the issue of repentance. And we are trying to narrow it down to family life and relationship. If you are not in the service, I encourage you to get the message and listen to it again. All right, so Nicodemus in John 3 was asking Jesus two critical questions. And we have tried to look at the first question, which is, what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born again? We have looked at that. And then the other question is, how can this thing be? These are the things Nicodemus was asking Jesus. So let's quickly look at the second part. I will just probably mention the points. And I really want us to get to the assurance part, because after this message, I'll be mentioning to us in the second part of this service, which the Lord called his name Life Hour. So you should be ready to receive impartation, life of God to every situation, life of God upon every dry bone, life of God upon every deadness. And I tell you that what the result would be is going to be a great army. So I tell you, life of God is coming for you. There is hope for you. Somebody say, there is hope for me. Turn to another neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. Say, listen, there is hope for me. And then to the third person, say, there is hope for me. Hallelujah. Can you put up a smiling face? When somebody has hope, you know, their faces show it. It shows on their face. Can you put on a smiling face, please? Hallelujah. Okay, so the second question of Nicodemus, he says, how can this thing be? So that talks about how to experience salvation or new birth. And that is in John chapter 3. Let's go there. John chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Okay, media. Can I? I can't see anything. Okay, let me open my Bible. Okay, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So Jesus here was teaching Nicodemus how new birth takes place. Is a spiritual birth that takes place by the water and the Spirit, by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And if we are going to maintain the same new birth, it is still with the ministry of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. If you are going to enter into any realm at all, if you will keep progressing and your path as a righteous man in Christ Jesus, we keep getting lighter and better by the day, you must never graduate from the school of the Word and the Spirit. To create every next level that God has for you, to step in there, you also need the ministry of the Word and the Spirit. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, "The Spirit of God was hovering over the water, and after a while, the Word came. Let there be light." So we see, even at the beginning, the ministry of the water, the Word, and the Spirit. Paul said, "Thank God I speak in tongues more than you all." But then, thank God for Paul, he's a man of the Word. So, meaning that he was able to understand the direction God has for his ministry, which is far quite different from ministering to the Jews. That's, you know, the apostles were known for. Paul break out into something that is entirely new. That was what he broke out into. And we were able to know that this was made possible because he's a man of the Spirit and the water. So Jesus said to Nicodemus, that is how it happens. You must be born of the water, the Word of God. You believe the Word and the Spirit of God brings a conviction into your heart. Then new birth takes place. Then you receive the Holy Spirit thereafter, and then you continue to grow even into the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you see different dimensions and different levels? But look at what Nicodemus said in verse 4. He said, "Can a man that has been born enter into his mother's womb the second time?" I want to pray for you there, that may you never grow to a point that you cannot encounter the new birth that is necessary, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That even after you have experienced the new birth, you have to desire to continue the experience of that new birth to continue in that same experience and having the newness of God on a daily basis. People get weary, people give up when there is no more newness. But have you noticed that when something new comes up, there is a new joy? For example, even if it is, God just helped you, you've been desiring, you needed this particular kind of phone, and then God helped you. That phone came, whether as a gift or you're able to afford it. Inside you, at that moment, there's a kind of, happiness. Oh, thank God I'm able to achieve this. How many of us understand what I'm talking about? Oh, thank God I'm able to achieve this. So, every new thing, even if it is material, brings a kind of new mood, so to say. It brings a kind of brightness. Now, when, as a child of God, you continue in the ministry of the Word and the Spirit, then your joy keeps overflowing. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Your joy keeps overflowing no matter the situation you find yourself. Your joy keeps overflowing. For example, as you encounter the world, it brings a kind of joy. It brings a kind of peace. That, wow, thank God for this world. Even though the situation have not changed, but this world is bringing assurance. It's bringing peace. It's bringing hope. So you must not graduate from the school of the world. And you must endeavor to pray continually in the Holy Spirit. So you keep building up yourself in the Holy Ghost. So your joy does not know bound. You never get weary. Whatever God wants to do, you will be able to cooperate with Him. You will be able to know what you are to do per time. Hallelujah. The psalmist will talk about the word as a lamp and as a light. Now, as a lamp, it helps you to see the immediate. And as a light, what is still ahead of you. So, as a lamp, it teaches you what you must do now to get to where God is taking you. So the school of the Word of God is so important. You must continue in drinking the water. Hallelujah to Jesus. So let me just mention those points. Now, for anyone to experience new birth, somebody in that state must bat him. It takes a man born of a woman to give birth to another man. Amen. Do you understand that? Hello, do you understand that? A man that is not born as a man cannot give birth to another man. So it takes a man to give birth to a man. So it takes a man born of the Spirit to give birth to a man in the Spirit. And I tell you, the same way we were born biologically, so it is spiritually. Somebody must birth you. Either by traveling in prayer, you know, or the fellow reaches out to you directly and bring you the word of faith, and then there is a conviction of the Spirit and you experience the new birth. So if those who have experienced the new birth refuse to go, then there will be little or lack of new birth. And this we must all take up as a challenge in the body of Christ today. Our mandate as a Christian is a go mandate. What did I call it? A go mandate. I know some of you will like to hear that it's a gold mandate. G-O-L-D. Yeah, it is. It has a lot of treasures. It has a lot of spiritual inheritances. The inheritances for us. Praise God. But the mandate really, really is a go mandate. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. It's a go mandate. So if those who ought to go will not go, then the experience of the bat will not come to those who need it. It won't come. Only few people like Paul had the experience of Jesus reaching out to them personally. Only few. Majority, the encounter, you know, they gave their life by the word preached to them. In fact, God himself understood that. So he came down in the form of his son. Are you getting me? He came down. The word came down. The word came down. So if the word can come down to our level here on earth, then as many of us that have experienced the new birth, we must be on the go. Permit me to tell you that if we are not going, or if we don't go, we are gone, and we will be gone down. In other words, when you see a team playing too much of defense, they will eventually concede a lot of error, and they will do many own goals. But am I correct? Of all of us. But with our goal mandate, then we are doing the offensive pattern of play. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Please wave your right hand to me if you are with me. Thank you. The goal mandate help us to change the pattern of our play to an offensive pattern. With that, we are able to take the war to the enemy's gates. Take, for example, look at the Arab world today. You know, these are nations that before, hardly you will hear the name of Jesus. But now by wisdom, Christianity is penetrating into those countries. Are you getting me? These are Muslim countries. Today, by their constitution, they are still Muslim countries. But there are Christianity going on inside. It's an example of taking the war to the enemy's gate. And doing that, God is glorified. That was what God himself did. After devil took over the affairs, you know, from Adam and Eve. And then God was trying everything from one dispensation to the another to redeem man. back to himself. Now, the one that eventually walk is that God himself, through his son, have to come down. Okay, I am coming down myself. And with that, God was able to get back for man what devil took away from man. So we must be ready to take the battle to the enemy's gate. Please be a going Christian. I mean, live Christianly. Act it. Talk it. Dress it. Behave it. Live it. Let your entire life, let it express the going mandate. As a Christian, never get to a point when you want to separate your business life from your Christianity. It will be imbalance. That will be incorrect. Don't separate your family life, your marriage, from who you are as a Christian. In fact, the truth is that you cannot separate any part of your life, including the way you like to appear, the way you like to dress, the kind of company you like to keep. It has to be in line with Christ's life. Hallelujah to Jesus. So let me just mention those points. So what I'm trying to say, stress here, is that before anyone can have the answer of Nicodemus, then those who already have it, they must be the one to do it. You remember that Enoch, he was reading the word of God. And the Bible says, even though he was coming from Jerusalem, he was coming from church and from a major religious rite. And this man has traveled far away from Africa. Yet, he had no understanding of the word of God. God had to arrange for him. And have to send Philip down. So somebody who have the experience, who have been born in the spirit, must be the one who travel, carry other people in his own bosom also, and then through prayer and acting by the word of God, sharing the word of God to them by faith, and then somebody also experienced new births. So look around you. Look around your neighborhood. Look around your family. Look around your circle. Who is that fellow that is yet to experience new births? It is your responsibility. Carry them in your bosom. Travail on their behalf in your prayer. I tell you, you are much more better when everybody around you are safe than when you alone are safe. If you are the only one safe in your circle of influence, really, you are not safe. Because in the day of battle, when you are helpless, I hope you know, we all get to that season in life. So if around you are the only one that is safe, then in the day of your battle, when you need help, it is what those people have that they will offer to you. Are you learning something today? So, before I mention those points, I think we need to quickly answer this question. That why is it that many of us find it difficult to go? Why do we find it difficult to appear, talk, behave as Christians outside church? Why is it that practicing of Christ or Christ's life is only limited to the four walls of the church? Why is it that we are different as a person outside the church? Why are we different from who we are in the church and who we are in our place of work, who we are in our neighborhood, such that it becomes difficult for us to reach out to the unsaved? Then one of the things I find out is that many of us, we are not even sure that we are safe. That security that comes with our salvation is lacking. We are not even sure. And I'm going to show to us three things that bring doubt to salvation. But before I get there, so to answer Nicodemus' question, how to experience new birth or salvation, write this down, please. Number one, you must put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him as your Lord and Savior. Romans 10, 8 to 10. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him as your Lord and Savior. Romans 10, verse 8 to 10. Number two, you will experience new birth by the transformative power of God's word. Just like I'm preaching now, the word of God reaches you. Holy Spirit, bring conviction to your heart. And right there and then, when it is time for altar call, you surrender. So by the transformative power of God's word, one can experience new birth. That was how Nicodemus experienced new birth. I hope that eventually he became a secret follower of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says not only him, because quite several of them, probably after he was saved, he went back into their group and said, really, you know, we know that he is a teacher from the Lord. We all know that. You know, that was the testimonial of Jesus that Nicodemus knew and told Jesus himself, we know you are a teacher. You are God sent. So after that encounter, he must have gone back to say, really, that is who he is. So we have others too, like Nicodemus, they became secret follower of Jesus Christ. When God help you, you are able to bat someone into spiritual bat, into a new bat. Then what will happen is, as the person keeps growing, he also gives birth to others. And then there is more joy in heaven and even for you too. So we must not stop sharing the word of God with people. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 23. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 42. Acts chapter 16, verse 30 to 32. You know, there is the story of jailer. Then 1 Corinthians 1:21. John 5:24. Point number three, confession and repenting from sin. That is another way to encounter or experience new birth. Confessing and repenting from sin. 1 John 1:9, and then 2 Chronicles 7:14 also attested to that. If my people are called by my name, humble themselves, then I will hear, I will forgive their sin. Then lastly here, how do you experience regeneration or new birth? By the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3 verse 5, John 16, 8. All right, so let's get down to assurance of salvation. Let's get down to assurance. That is the secret package that comes with our salvation. And let me quickly say something briefly about assurance. Assurance is not a feeling. It doesn't have to do with the way you are feeling. No, it's not feeling. But a knowing inside of you. Knowledge of salvation down within you, who you are. Are we together, please? If you are following me, say amen. What did I say about assurance? It is not a feeling. It doesn't have to do with how you are feeling. But it is a knowledge within you, who you are, that you are saved. Assurance of salvation is that peace within you that you know, and you know in your heart that you have reconciled with God and that you have found favor with Him, and now you are a son of God, and that God is your Father. Remember when Jesus wants to give to the disciples the methodology of prayer, Matthew 6. He said, in this manner you will pray. And then it begins. He says, you will say, our Father. How did God become our Father? Through Jesus. At the point of salvation. If you are following me, say amen. At the point of salvation, the Father of Jesus become your Father. So you do not only know God as God. Salvation and assurance of salvation should give a kind of acknowledgement within you that God is now your Father. Assurance of salvation brings you to that point of sonship. God is not just my God. He is my Father. So when you are praying to Him, you are not just praying to one God far away somewhere that you cannot reach. But that is your Father. And that even though He's right there in heaven, you know that Jesus, when He left here on earth, is there seated beside the Father and our Father in heaven. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Thank you. Those of you who understand. Those of us who don't understand, I ask Holy Spirit to give you perfect understanding of what He's bringing to us today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. At salvation, God, not only, is now a God to us. He's now becoming a Father. He's the Father of Jesus. So when Jesus redeemed us and gave us this new birth, then we were born into the family of God. Let's see Ephesians chapter 3 or so. Let's quickly see this. Ephesians. Ephesians 3, No, not. I think it's 1:3. It's 1:3. It's 1:3. Okay, let me start from Paul, from verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. Say with me. From God. Please say it louder. Say from God our Father. Say it one more time. Say from God our Father. That is Paul here speaking. He knew that God, the Father of Jesus, is now God, the Father of Paul. Wow. And you too must recognize, the way Paul recognized, that it is now God, the Father of David Olushola. Did you get that? Really? That singular understanding, as simple as it is, we change many things in your dealings with God, your understanding of God, your approach of God, and the way you carry yourself. If you recognize that God is your Father, the many things you are afraid of, you won't be afraid, including the fear of tomorrow. You won't be afraid. You won't be afraid. Let's read down one. Look at verse 3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please, can you read with me? Can we all read together? Ephesians 1:3. Everybody want to go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let's stop there. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As he is the Father of Jesus, he is our Father. Somebody that really know and really know that God is his Father or our Father. Can you say God is my Father? Can you say it one more time? Say God is my Father. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, listen, if you don't know, God is Father. Do you really want to know my Father? I'm telling you, God is my Father. For some of us, the way our biological father lived, you are not supposed to show your father to others. The way, you know, I think I was reading something about Oprah Winfrey, and they were asking why she didn't write a book. And she realized that if she tried to write the book, then she will need to mention part of her history, part of her background, which are not pleasant. Are you getting me? So she didn't write the book. The same goes with some of us. Looking at things that has happened in the past, you are not, you know, encouraged enough to show others that's my father. In fact, some of us, you are still having issue with your father accepting him. You better go and forgive your father, whatever the matter is. Because really, that man just have the privilege of God, you know, that through his gene you were born. But your real father is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is somebody getting that? That's your father. And let that understanding bring peace to your heart. That no matter how messy things have gone with your biological father, Make up your mind you will have a father, or that you have a father in God. So that is going to help your healing process. The issue we have, you might have with your biological father. So this assurance is the peace within, not the feeling without. You know you are a son of God. You know you are now the righteousness of God. And that after God has forgiven you, God looks at you as if you have never sinned before. That is the assurance that salvation brings. Again, what is assurance? It is seeing yourself the way God sees you. As righteous, cleansed, redeemed, justified, free without sin, not condemned. Without blemish. That's the way God sees you. Romans 8, that those who are called. They are justified. They are glorified. You are already glorified. That is what assurance of salvation brings. Romans 8:8. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Those he justified, them he also glorified. Amen. Now, let's look at things. Three things, like I said, why we lose our confidence, or why many lose their confidence about their salvation. Number one, sin consciousness. Number two, this feeling. Number three, the accusation of the accuser of the brethren. Satan's accusation. That he brings in your heart. So when these are there, then it becomes very difficult for those who are already saved to get others saved. For example, Holy Spirit is saying, preach to that fellow. But now the accuser of the brethren is telling you, how can you preach? Look at the sin you have seen. Look at your life. Do you think God will forgive you? And so on and so forth. So before we begin to look at, you know, these three, sin consciousness, feelings, and the accusation of the accuser of the brethren. Okay, maybe later we will look at the life of the prodigal son. And when you look at that, Luke 15, you find out that Jesus there, of all the stories mentioned there, I think about three. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the story of the prodigal son. He spoke that one. That even when the one saved became lost and dead. Are you following me? Because that's what happened. When a child of God fell out of grace, fell into sin, what happened is that fellow became lost. that fellow become dead. But you know what? He's still a son. Nothing changes that status. We will look at that as we close. In fact, Jesus said, when the one lost is back home, he said there is a great joy in heaven. There is a great joy. Not condemnation. It is devil that bring condemnation. Oh, you have seen this sin, God cannot forgive you. And then with this sin, since you know God cannot forgive you, can you just kill yourself? That's the same way Judas lost his life. He has thought probably Jesus is going to deliver himself since he has all the power. Are you getting me? Now, he never knew that he was positioning himself to be the one whom scripture have written concerning. That anyone who show him to the enemy is condemned already. He never knew he was playing that evil part. He thought, okay, let me just have all the money. He knew what to do. He knew how to disappear. He knew how to, you know, make quiet the demonic spirit. He had all the power. He will save himself. Then I will have gone with the money. So that's one reason he went back to give the money to the, you know, the chief priest. And then himself went to kill himself. When people kill themselves, what happens is there is a voice of condemnation somewhere. Do you hear what I'm talking about? So if you are here today, you always hear a voice condemning you, telling you can't do well, telling you there is no hope for you. That cannot be Holy Spirit. Is somebody listening to me? That cannot be Holy Spirit. That's the devil. Now, number one, concerning sin consciousness. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Are you getting something at all? The Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we made the righteousness of God." Amen. So there is a change of position at salvation. Please, if you are following what I'm saying, can you say amen? He who knew no sin became a sin. We that we have sinned, we now become one that I've not seen before. This is what assurance of salvation brings. You know, we could have asked, how is Rahab? How did she made it to be part of the Israelites? Except that this is the way God has been looking at matters, even from the foundation of the earth. That is why the salvation he has for Israel is not just for Israel. It is also for the Gentiles. So today you can look at somebody and say, this guy, nothing good can actually come out of this life again. But that is you as human. As far as God is concerned, God has a plan. If I had a master plan for that life. Are you getting me? So can I beg you, don't condemn people and don't look down on anybody. In fact, when you know, you remember where God brought you up from, you will never look at anybody and condemn them. Never. You will relate with people with love, with respect. So here are two ways believers are made righteous. Number one, by imputation. By imputation. Number two, by impartation. By imputation, we mean that the righteousness of Jesus is transferred to us. You know, it's like a credit to your account. You became righteous because Christ the righteous, you know, transfer his own righteousness unto you. So by imputation, we become righteous. So boldly, a Christian, a child of God, can say, I am the righteousness of God. Are you getting that? We need this assurance. If you are going to become anything in life, if you are going to be that which God wants you to be, listen, we all make mistakes. I hope you know that. Did you remember Abraham made mistakes? After God gave him all of the promises, you know, I think in chapter 15, God was again reminding him, I'm coming for you, I'm coming for you. Then he got to verse 16. I think we looked at that last week during the family and relationship Sunday. And he listened to the voice of pressure around him. It was through his wife. And the man married their maid, Mrs. Sarah Abraham was the pastor who conducted that marriage. And not too long, they had a son. Ishmael was born. But you know what? When he got to chapter 17, after all that has happened in chapter 16, in chapter 17, God called Abraham. God called him. Now, humanly speaking, a man will say, how will God call a sinful man? But can you give me Genesis 17, verse 1? The Bible says, God called Abraham. Look at this. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord God appeared to him. Probably as a man, you can put in brackets, the fallen Abraham, the disobedient Abraham. Are you with me? And said to him, it's not Abraham who went to God. God now came and spoke. Now, what is God saying? I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Did you get that? I know you have made a mistake, Abraham, but I'm not going to talk about it. Walk before me and be perfect. Let's move on in this relationship. Did you get that? God was not addressing the issue of Ishmael. In fact, he won't talk about it until the time come, and then there was an issue, and Sarah said, send this boy away. He's going to be a threat to my son, Isaac. And Abraham was reluctant about it, and God had to come at that moment and say, really, you have to send him away. Except for that time, God was not saying anything about that. Was God condoning sin? No. But you see, he's our Father. This shows you, or shows us, you know, the fatherly part of God. He's a father. Jesus said, when you want to pray, don't say, my God. He says, say, our Father. In other words, if your prayer will be heard and be answered, You must approach God as a father. Can I tell somebody here, no matter how rough your past might be, if you will open up everything before God, or if you have done that before, then I tell you, He has forgiven you. Now, never listen to the voice of condemnation telling you that you are stuck, you are like, these things are not working in your life because of your past. No. That's voice of condemnation. Oh God. God is not punishing you for your sin of the past. Yes, you might have to pay for the repercussion, but it's not God. Is somebody listening to me? It's not God. Let's move fast so that we can get to the story of the prodigal son and close this meeting. Secondly, how does a Christian or a believer is made righteous? Number one, by imputation. Number two, by impartation. So by impartation, it means that the nature of God is now our nature. Righteousness is God's nature. So when the righteousness of God becomes our nature, then we become the righteousness of God. So that you set to issue of sin. Hallelujah to Jesus. So don't be conscious and overconscious of it. Remember that he that knew no sin has been made a sin for you. And whenever probably you fall out of grace, you are still a son to God. Even your fallout does not change your status. It doesn't. Although you will miss some blessings, but it doesn't change your status. And once you come to yourself and you come back, there is still a room for you in your father's house. So, second thing that condemns people is feelings. Please put up for me 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Let's just look at that scripture and then we'll go to the third thing. Then we'll begin to close. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Oh God. So why is it that when I try to it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. Somebody say we walk by faith. Say it louder, we walk by faith, not by sight. Now personalize it. Say, I walk by faith and not by feeling. Take note of that scripture. Not by your feeling. God is not dealing with you by your feeling. Don't deal with him by your feeling. He deals with you by your spirit. Your spirit to his spirit. So, your salvation doesn't have anything to do with your feelings. Now, what about the third thing, which is Satan's accusation? In Revelation chapter 12, from verse 10 to 11, you will see his work there. The Bible referred to him as the accuser of the brethren. Now, this accusation of the devil can actually affect, you know, our confidence. But that is if you allow it. But how do you tackle it? let me give you a few points. How do you deal with Satan's accusation after you have been forgiven? How do you deal with this accusation? Number one, you need to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, believer. Especially in bearing witness with our spirits that we are sons of God. You need to understand the role of Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is the one bearing the witness that you are son of God. Romans 8:16. Number two, you also need to understand the power of the blood of Jesus. Number one is understand the role of Holy Spirit, bearing witness that you are a son of God. Number two, understand the power of the blood of Jesus. That is the price that was paid for your sin. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. So no matter how reddish your sin might be, the blood of Jesus cleansed you and made you white as snow. So Revelation 5, verse 9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That is the power of the blood of Jesus. Number three, you also need to understand what the word of God have said about your salvation. And you use it. Use what the word have said against your enemy that is accusing you. 2 Corinthians 5:7, Romans 8:1, Romans 33-39. So, with the understanding all the scripture will give you, your confidence should be restored and nothing should take it away. Number one, you need to understand of the ministry of Jesus, bearing witness that you are a son of God. Number two, you need the understanding of the power of the blood of Jesus that cleans you. Number three, you need understanding of the word of God. Next, maybe I should give you one more. Understand also the role of confession, your word, what you say to yourself. So you ensure that you are saying to yourself things you find in the word of God that God said to you. That's the power of confession there. And at this point, you need to understand that Holy Spirit, the accuser of the brethren, devil, the accuser of the brethren, is not Holy Spirit. You must learn to differentiate between devil's accusation and Holy Spirit conviction. You must understand, you must be able to differentiate between the two. The two comes in your mind. Are you getting me? You will hear these voices within you. Now, Holy Spirit, don't condemn, but convince. Devil will not convince, but he will condemn you. You need perfect understanding at this point. Conviction will work in your favor. Accusation works against you. Now, like in the court of law, we have the defense attorney and the prosecuting attorney. So, Holy Spirit is your defense attorney. He defends you. But devil is that prosecuting attorney. Now, know this, that when sin is confessed, it is forgiven, it is forgotten. Please write it down. Whenever a sin is confessed, it is forgiven and forgotten. In other words, it is remitted. You can't get it back. Isaiah 43 verse 25. Isaiah 43 verse 25. It says, I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake. It is not there. After blotting it out, it says, and I will not remember your sin. So when a sin is confessed, it is forgiven, it is forgotten. So I don't know the state that you are now. You need to come to Jesus. You need to confess your sin. Knowing fully well that once you confess your sin, it is forgiven. It is forgotten. It is devil that will tell you that that sin, God didn't forget to. He has brought it back. He has brought it forward. No. God is not keeping account of your record of evil. No. He only keep account record of your work. Are you getting me? Of your work. So he's not keeping account of your sin. So for this reason, Jesus will say that once your brother, had an issue with you. So the disciples were saying, how many times? Jesus said, well, if you can find it possible that in 70 times 7 a day, then don't forgive that fellow. If somebody can forgive you, sir, 70 times 7 times in a day, then the next one, after that 490, that you are keeping the record, don't forgive. Now, that's impossible. So, in other words, Jesus is saying that make forgiveness possible. Live it. Practice it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let me close. So, let's close with the story of the prodigal son. So, for the prodigal son, after he had left his father's house and he experienced famine, so at a point the Bible says he came to himself. What does that mean? At that moment, even though he has sinned, he remembers something, who he is. So at that moment, what worked there was the assurance of his salvation. Who he is? He said to himself, here am I. I'm dying of hunger. How many of the servants of my father have enough food? In fact, I would like you to read the accounts and you will find out how many times, I think about 11 times, the word father, father was repeated. So as we close, one of the things I want you to take home from this service is the understanding that God is your father. Approach him as a father. Not fearfully, but with love. So when the prodigal son remember who he is and remember who his father is, there is a father. He's merciful. He's loving. He's forgiving. He returned home. Somebody say with me, he returned home. You too, you need to return home. by the reason of the assurance of your salvation. He returned home. And after returning home, far away, his father saw him. I saw something there. Please stand to your feet. While he was still far away, and the father saw him. I don't know how that happened, but it must have been by the reason of the love of the father. Even before he mentioned all he has memorized to say. When I get to my father, I will say, Father, I have sinned, forgive me, and so on and so forth. Before he ever said that, once the father saw him far away, the father knew he has returned home. So meaning that from the very day one he had made that mistake, the father is waiting for him to come back. Can I tell somebody? God is waiting for you to come back home. God is waiting for you. Somebody, God is waiting for you to come back home. Your father is waiting for you to come back. Somebody, your father is waiting for you to come back home. Somebody, your heavenly father, the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, your father, my father, our father, is waiting for you to come back home. I like you to go home with this word. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is your Father, is waiting for you to come back home. He's waiting for you. Once the Father saw the boy, it was the Father who ran. Even though the man is an old man, when he saw his boy returning home, he gained strength to run. Your new life, your restoration life, to the father gives the father a great joy. And you know what? After saying all he wanted to say, check your Bible very well. The father never responded to any of the things the boy said. Just like the father did not mention anything about the case of Ishmael with Abraham. Why? He's a father. Did Abraham make mistake? Yes, he did. Did he pay for it? He paid for it. In fact, we are still paying for it. So that is to tell you, don't make mistakes. Are you getting me? Don't make mistakes. When you make mistakes, will God forgive you? He will forgive you. But what about the result? You will carry the pain yourself. You will carry the pain. But that on the fact that will God forgive you or not, he will forgive you. And he will restore you to who you are as a son. He ordered the best of rope to the boy. A shoe on his feet. A ring on his hand. Restoring him as a son. Somebody, the father is waiting for you. The father is waiting for you. What will you tell him? Go ahead and talk to him. Go ahead and talk to him. Go ahead and talk to him. It's your father. Talk to him. Talk to him. Come on, talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to your father. Talk to your heavenly father. He's waiting for you back at home. He's waiting for you back at home. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. Rebo Shambala Broma Sunania Rabosh Katulia Friadona Nas Kuta Limbara Limpra Mosketune Falibra Koba Sidalingada La Koraba Kazuka Libra Zuna Naraba Bababaya Le Rabosha. The Father is waiting for you back home. He's waiting for you. He opened his arm. He's waiting for you. He's expecting you back home. We like to say, Father, forgive me all my sin. I make a new decision to follow you anew. Anew. Anew, Lord. And receive new love of Christ in your heart. The Father is waiting for you. Bring your prayers to a close. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Lord, I pray that this your word that has gone forth will cause restoration of many sons and daughters back to you in the name of Jesus. As many of you understand my voice, who is living under the oppression of demonic condemnations, telling you God cannot forgive you, and even asking you to take your own life by yourself, I rebuke those demonic voices. I declare you are delivered from them, and I declare in the name of Jesus that the consciousness of who you are in Christ Jesus, that you have been redeemed, cleaned up by his blood, and you are now of the family of God, let that consciousness remain in your heart and begin to walk in that confidence all the days of your life. So therefore, you overcome every voice of condemnation. Now that you have been restored back unto the Lord, your salvation, you will not lose anymore. The Lord uphold you to the end. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.